This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
As president of...
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine that.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, January 9th, 2025, a national day of remembrance to former President Jimmy Carter, who had his national service at the National Cathedral, Washington, D.C., about an hour ago. It is the 9th of January, 2025. A great day to be Wisconsinite. Certainly heavy hearts for many people across the country today. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Welcome in. As we come in, that is the incomparable Garth Brooks, along with his wife, country music star Trisha Yearwood, who performed this rendition in the National Cathedral just about an hour or so ago. It was at the request of former President Carter that these two sing this particular Beatles song at his funeral, the great song Imagine, of course, by the Beatles, which talks about a life and a time and a place that Jimmy Carter imagined, a peaceful world, one that people would get along. Welcome in, everyone. Glad to have you along on this special edition here for the first part, at least. Big show for you today. What's worse in hour number two? Going to be talking a little bit later about the 119th Congress, what we could possibly expect in Washington, and more state news as well. Of course, taking your phone calls at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mr. Zommers, welcome in to you on this Thursday. I know you were kind of getting ready for the show. Did you have a chance to watch any of this or not really?
I did not. No, I was working on stuff all morning.
Yeah, that's fine. I was at a couple of meetings, but I had the service on, and I watched the bulk of it. Couple of interesting political points. We're going to get to that in commentary in a moment. But I want to begin with a couple of cuts from the funeral at the National Cathedral, as we said, about an hour and a half ago. All of the former living presidents were there in attendance, along with President Joe Biden, who spoke, and Vice President Kamala Harris in the front row, seated behind the current president and vice president from left to right. It was former president and Hillary Clinton, then former president Bush and Laura Bush, then former president Obama, and right next to him, former and president-elect Donald Trump and Melania. Michelle Obama chose not to come. More on that a little bit later, which I thought was interesting. And also, President George Bush, former president, seeming to have a little bit of a commentary himself, but we'll talk about that in a minute. First of all, what was really important, I thought it was a beautiful service, by the way, at the National Cathedral. What's interesting to know is former presidents get to choose what type of a funeral that they want. And former President Carter chose to have a full bird state funeral. In other words, all the pomp and circumstance, the motorcade going up to the National Cathedral, the service at the National Cathedral, chose who he wanted to speak. And several people ask him, well, what was Trump doing there? Because, of course, he did not show up to former U.S. Senator John McCain's funeral. That was it was made known by the McCain family that Trump was not welcome there. and juxtaposed that to former President Carter and his family saying that they wanted everyone who wanted to attend. They wanted everyone there. So President Carter, who is a man in the presidency, of course, who rejected the pomp and circumstance, was the person who said, I don't want Hail to the Chief being played every time I come into the room, who carried some of his own luggage on occasion, who kept a very low profile. But in his post-presidency, he commented that that was probably the wrong decision. The American people want to see that. And so interesting that he chose a full state funeral in his post-life here on Earth. A man of great faith, Jimmy Carter continued to teach Sunday school at his Baptist church in Plains, Georgia, his hometown, almost up until the moment of death. And of course, died at the age of 100. I want to play a couple of cuts from today's service at the National Cathedral. Want to start off with Jason Carter, who is President Carter's grandson. Here's Jason Carter on his remembrances of his grandfather.
As president in the 1970s, as you've heard, he protected more land than any other president in history. 50 years ago, he was a climate warrior who pushed for a world where we conserved energy, limited emissions, and traded our reliance on fossil fuels for expanded renewable sources. By the way, he cut the deficit, wanted to decriminalize marijuana, deregulated so many industries that he gave us cheap flights and, as you heard, craft beer. Basically, all of those years ago, he was the first millennial. And he could make great playlists, as we've heard as well. As president in the 1970s...
Great cut there by Jason Carter. The grandson of President Carter. And apologies to Beatles fans everywhere. Lisa in Middleton reminding me that Imagine was a John Lennon song proper, not an actual entire Beatles song. So I apologize for that not being technically correct. I'm sure Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor, will admonish me that for that mistake on music there as well. But still a great song by John Lennon, of course, Imagine. In addition to Jason Carter speaking, what was interesting of note, that Steve Ford, the son of former President Republican Gerald Ford, was also there. And important to note that although Jimmy Carter beat Gerald Ford in the 1976 presidential election, the two actually became very good friends, traveled together on vacations, wrote back and forth. And perhaps Carter had the strongest bond of any post-president with the man he beat, Gerald Ford. And so it was notable that Steve Ford was asked to eulogize former President Carter today. Here is a snippet of Steve Ford's remarks today at the funeral of former President Carter.
Before I start, the Carter children, my wife and I were sitting several rows behind you, and we were praying for you, and I was humbly reminded that it was 18 years ago, almost to the day that our family sat in that very row and supporting my mom, and it was your dad and his great faith that supported my mom and gave her hope that week. He traveled with us for several days, and we were blessed. So thank you.
A personal moment from Steve Ford, the son of former President Gerald R. Ford, who, of course, lost to President Carter. And again, just shows you in deed, not just word, that the Ford and Carter families were inextricably linked over time. A great deal of respect there. And then, of course, current President Joe Biden was in attendance with First Lady Jill Biden. Eulogized him as well. Perhaps one of the lines will get the most coverage, the one that people might talk about the most. And President Biden said a lot of great things about President Carter. Of course, Biden was the first U.S. senator that endorsed Jimmy Carter for president in 1976. The two had a very close relationship and friendship. But Biden came up with this line with all the former presidents sitting in front of him. Here was Joe Biden at the funeral.
We have an obligation to give hate no safe harbor, and to stand up to what my dad used to say is the greatest sin of all, the abuse of power. That's not about being perfect, because none of us are perfect. We're all fallible.
For current President Joe Biden, the line about standing up to abuse of power, it was very subtle. But the cameras cut to the row of the former presidents, and all of them had a smirk and a bit of a smile on their face, and the former first ladies as well, including Hillary Clinton and Laura Bush. The only person that did not is the incoming president-elect Donald Trump. Everybody kind of knew what that was, a little subtlety there, a little subtlety against the Trumpster. Also of note, again, these things are where you, for people like me who love politics, the intrigue. This is the first time that Donald Trump and Mike Pence have seen each other since January 6th of 2021. Pence was seated next to Al Gore in the third row. They both stood up when Trump and Melania came in, and it was a quick handshake and kind of a head nod and hello. Interesting that Karen Pence, Mike Pence's wife, was there. She remained seated the entire time and looked straight ahead, refusing to acknowledge either Melania or Donald Trump, probably because, you know, he tried to kill her husband. Also, when George W. Bush entered, he walked right in front of Melania and President-elect Trump, never acknowledged them. Obama, former President Obama, stood up to shake his hand, and George W. gave him a smile and like a quick little stomach pat, as if to say, hey, thanks for taking one for the team and having to sit next to him. I thought that was very interesting. Doug Emhoff, who was seated right in front of the Trumps and former President Obama, did turn around and shake the Trumps' hands. It was not clear. It seemed to be that that Vice President Harris and Trump acknowledged each other with a head nod, but I'm not sure whether they shook hands or not. These are rare opportunities when all these people get together in one place like this. And it just, the interactions tells you a lot. All these former presidents and first ladies seem to be very cordial to one another, except when it comes to the Trumps. And by the way, lots of progressive left Democratic folks are going crazy on social right now because Obama had the audacity. He was seated shoulder to shoulder next to Trump, and Trump was seemed to be trying to be cordial, and the two were kind of smiling and talking. And people are going nuts because on Obama because he talked to Trump. What's the guy supposed to do? He's on national world television. He has to be cordial.
It's mostly Trump talking in his ear and him smiling.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a day to remember former President Jimmy Carter, who contributed to this world, perhaps more in his post-presidency than ever before, as certainly a model for all of us. Back after this, on this National Day of Remembrance, here is Imagine by John Lennon, Garth Brooks, and Trisha Yearwood.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on this Thursday, January 9th, 2025. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon, taking a few moments to talk about the National Remembrance Service, National Funeral at the National Cathedral, Washington, D.C. for former President James Earl Carter, Jr. All of the former presidents, living presidents, were there today, along with all the first ladies, except Michelle Obama, who for whatever reason was not there. Look, I don't blame her, quite frankly. She would have been seated right next. She would have been seated between her husband and former and incoming President Trump. Not particularly a comfortable place. So Obama took one for everybody else of the former presidents and first ladies and was the person that sat next to Trump. But more importantly, talking about James Earl Carter and his contributions to America, it was one of those rare moments where, again, everybody came together, everybody was cordial, and some of the most remarkable words were the pastor that spoke today, which I did not know this, by the way, until today, that growing up in rural Georgia, Jimmy Carter was in a, I believe it was county, that was 75% black and only 25% white in population. And so that Jimmy Carter grew up as a minority in his community. And that fast forward when he joined the Naval Academy and was assigned as a nuclear physicist to a submarine, was chosen by the admiral at the time to be on the team to convert our submarines to nuclear, fresh out of the Naval Academy, Jimmy Carter asked to be as his roommate on the sub, or his bunkmate on the sub, the first African-American plebe or cadet on a submarine, because he said, I've been a minority and maybe I can help this guy adjust and mentor him. That was from the pastor today. Didn't know that until today. What a unique perspective, being a white person in America, but yet growing up in a minority, as a minority in your community. Watching on Facebook, Roger in Stevens Point, listening via WFHR, a great station in Wisconsin Rapids, says President Carter made his humility contagious. We can learn so much from his example, unquote. Well said, Roger. Absolutely well said. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to call in with a remembrance. 855-752-4842. Mark from Paradisac. Mark, thanks for calling in. You wanted to comment on the use of the John Lennon song Imagine, which again was a specific request by former President Carter to use at his funeral.
And I just find that fascinating. I don't. You may not remember, but there's an episode of WKRP where that song featured, where the religious group wanted WKRP to clean up its music because they're playing too many racy songs. That was one of the songs that they wanted banned because it said, "Imagine there's no heaven." And this was a religious group that was doing it. And for a deeply devout man like Jimmy Carter to request that song, you know, kind of echoes back to a comment that Roger Williams made, you know, about the 30 Years' War in the mid-17th century, that people were slaughtering, Protestants and Catholics were busily slaughtering each other there over little details about, you know, religious doctrine. And he just saw, you know, saw the tragic consequences of that. And now that, you know, Jimmy Carter has requested a secular song to be sung at his funeral is just a kind of heartwarming, in my mind, heartwarming. That because it is a song that actually expresses universal brotherhood, that rather than, you know, and using that broadly because, it, you know, sisterhood as well, that we need to actually recognize one another for that. And we have a, I see the incoming administration is going to be sponsoring basically hate, and that that's a tragedy, and we have to try to overcome that, that and confront it, and it's kind of tough to confront it with love, but I mean, I guess confront it we must.
Very well said, Mark. I appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Matt listening on WMDX in Middleton. Matt, thanks for calling in. You wanted to comment on former President Carter's values.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind or just look at the complete contrast to Donald Trump and the values of MAGA, or what we know of it so far. Ironically, I was listening to Pink Floyd's The Wall this morning, a great album about a soldier's psychological unraveling and the dangers of fascism through, told through the story of a veteran, you know. And I think Trump and the fear is talked about in The Wall, and Jimmy Carter was very much a peaceful person. And I guess my hope today is that this coming together can maybe get add to some kind of new narrative for a progressive movement that embodies Carter's values and the acts of love and grace, you know?
Well said, Matt. I appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Certainly Jimmy Carter set the example, and watching other tributes and news pieces on him from various sources over the last few days, from people who actually knew him, it was biographers, some of his former staff, said yes. Everything that's been said so far on this program today and other places about his empathy, his compassion, his desire for peace, all 100% true. But that sometimes behind closed doors, he could also be, I don't want to call it a temper, but he get agitated quickly when people, he thought they were dragging their heels. As someone who was a former naval cadet in the Naval Academy, he was fastidious or absolutely demanding of people being on time. Did not like people who were late to meetings in the White House or who didn't meet deadlines. And if you did that, he would get very short with people. And so behind the scenes, although, you know, in public, in front of cameras, he had this kind of calm, almost docile appearance. That behind closed doors of the White House, he certainly had a maybe not an ego, but a passion for getting things done and kind of didn't suffer fools gladly. And I think that you need that balance, in my opinion, to get things done, like the Middle East Peace Accords, which are one of the markers of his presidency. And he did accomplish many things that unfortunately history has overlooked. But perhaps his greatest achievement was in his post-presidency. Zomers?
Yeah, you can be a good person and still have standards and demand excellence.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jimmy Carter certainly did that. We're going to come back, turn the page a bit, take a look at the other national story this hour. Of course, what's going on in Los Angeles? There simply are no words. CNN calling come back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, January 9th, 2025. One of those days where our moniker, at least the last part of it, having fun doing it, absolutely does not apply to the first hour today. No fun at all for folks of SoCal, Southern California. Sat last night for a lot of the evening watching CNN, a little bit of MSNBC. The continual coverage of these fires in Southern California. And I understand it's a California issue, but a catastrophe like this becomes a national story and a national issue. And my guess is there's a lot of people who are listening to this program across the state of Wisconsin who either have friends or family in Southern California or have at least visited it. Wisconsin been fortunate over the years to gone to the Rose Bowl a lot. Been there myself three times for the Rose Bowl. Have friends and family in Southern California. We just stayed with them here last month when we were out there for the Wisconsin Badger USC game. So I want to just quickly, not quickly, but I want to take a few minutes to touch on this. It's absolutely devastating. And if you're familiar with that part of the country at all, to kind of set it up for you, you have downtown Los Angeles, and then kind of to the north and west of that is the Pasadena area, and then just north of that, Glendale and Burbank. And then to the west of that, along Santa Monica Boulevard, which goes from the coast, the Pacific coast, all the way to downtown LA. You have Santa Monica. And then just north of Santa Monica, it all kind of course, if you're out there, it all kind of runs together, right? It's hard to know where all this kind of, where the lines are, because it all feels like one big place. But you have Pacific Palisades, this community just north of Santa Monica, and then it goes up to Malibu. Pacific Palisades largely has been wiped off the map with this fire. And it happened so quickly that the Santa Ana winds came down off the mountains and just, they were like 90 mile per hour winds in the middle of the night that took these sparks and just tore through this town. They're estimating now, and this is just early estimates, that so far the damage is north of $50 billion. It's just heartbreaking. There are really no words or adjectives to do it justice. I talked with my friend Nelson, who we stayed with out in Los Angeles here a couple months ago. He is thankfully south of the worst of this little place called Santa Fe Springs. So not by, for the time being, he and his family are safe on their home. But he said even that far away that the air is just filled with ash and soot and these little burning embers once in a while. So the people are, according to him, someone on the ground in Los Angeles area, there's just a real panic in some parts of the greater Los Angeles area. Traffic has been snarled, to say the least. And if you've ever visited Los Angeles, traffic is no fun in normal times. I like to tell people who've never been there, just plan. It's an hour for anything. Got to go get groceries? An hour. Got to go to get a burger at McDonald's? An hour. Want to run to Target? An hour. Now, that's a slight exaggeration because, you know, there are neighborhoods where you have things that are going to take you less time. So traffic is never fun in Los Angeles area. But according to my friend on the ground, that people are just getting panicky. They're trying to evacuate, pre-evacuate, thinking some parts of Los Angeles that are not directly affected by these fires right now. The utility companies are saying, stand by, your electricity may be cut off, presumptively, to hinder any more fires from starting. And now there are investigations into the Palisades fire that this may have been arson. And of course, there's lots of misinformation, as these things do, on all kinds of socials. Lots of blame games going around, much of which is not true. I want to give you a little taste of this. Here's just some snippets from CNN's coverage of this so far today. By the way, Carol works here at WMDX in Madison, says, I have a friend near the Eaton office, or pardon me, near the Eaton fire. She's near Highway 210. She is safe at the moment, was out of power for 24 hours, and is hosting two people and three cats, friends who had to evacuate. Thank you, Carol, for sharing that. And that is a story that has been repeated, that the people are seeking shelter with their friends or animals. I saw one story last night where there was a one-bedroom apartment, condo, whatever it is, housing 11 people and several pets in shelters. Carol also comments, according to her friend, air quality is atrocious. She got out her stock face masks again. Oh, the face masks. Yeah, everybody has wearing face masks again. The last thing she needs is the president-elect talking about Governor Newsom. Yes, that's part of what's going on. Is the president-elect, of course, making this political, saying things that are just patently not true, trying to blame in part. So what's happened is there have been areas where the fire hydrants no longer work. And this trying to be politicized by Republicans, that somehow this is Governor Newsom, the Democrats' fault, or the local elected officials, and trying to blame it on the protection of smelt and the fact that you couldn't have water come out of the Pacific to fight these fires, which is patently false. First of all, the protection of this fish, this smelt, is federally regulated. It's a federal plan. Governor and state people have nothing to do with it. And the water is coming from reservoirs, which, according to credible reports, are full. The problem has become twofold, the challenge. A, this is an unprecedented event. Some people last night were calling it the quote-unquote big one, which is normally associated with earthquakes in L.A. But this was the quote-unquote big one in terms of a fire, that there was almost no plan that you could have put together for this magnitude of an event, unprecedented because of the high winds. This is normally in January in Los Angeles. You have the mudslides. You have rain going on. And the fact that this fire is happening now is just beyond belief. Number two, a lot of people at the lower elevations were trying to wet down their grass in their houses so they didn't catch fire. And so that lowered the water pressure higher up elevations, which meant the water couldn't be pumped. So very complex, as these things usually are. And people running in with misinformation early. And of course, unfortunately, we saw this in the New Orleans disaster a couple weeks ago, when the guy ran through the Bourbon Street with the truck, and immediately President-elect Trump took to Twitter along with Fox to blame this on a quote-unquote illegal person who had crossed illegally, that the truck that was used to cross the border, all found to be factually false. That in fact, it was a American who was born in America. This was a rented truck. And yes, it had been in Texas. It was because it was rented by someone else. So these early rushes to make things political are extraordinarily destructive and unhelpful. What folks in Southern California need right now are our thoughts, our prayers, our good vibes, and if we could afford it, our donations to credible, helpful events. I want to go to one of our longtime callers and L.A. Tom, who is in the Los Angeles area. Tom, your call could not be more timely. I appreciate you taking time out of what I can only imagine to be an overwhelming day. First of all, I'm sorry we're talking under these circumstances. Number one, how are you, your friends, your family doing at this hour?
We're doing good. We've had a few friends that have lost their houses completely. We haven't had electricity or internet for 2 days now. What people need to realize, though, about this fire is that it really is all about the winds. Mm-hmm. If you have someone dropping water, you know, from the helicopter, and you have a 70-mile-hour wind, it's not going on the target place where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that water is just flowing. And then the thing about this water pressure thing, the problem is all these houses have, you know, they have running water in them. So basically when the house burns down, those pipes burst, and that's why the water pressure could not come from, you know, from down on the ground. But it really is just the combination of our dry weather and now the Santa Ana winds. Our fire season used to be from June to August. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like our fire season is from June until, I guess, January or further. I had a friend who lives in the Hollywood Hills area, and she last night, you know, they were telling them to evacuate, but, you know, she has a broken kneecap.
Yeah.
It's like she can't get out. There's some people that are housebound that can't get out, you know, and the thing about it is luckily, you know, the wind started to die down. I guess it's supposed to come back up again today. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that it's given us enough time that we've been able to do some water drops that have been able to put out some of the fires in Runyon Canyon. And, the Palisades, which is a beautiful place, is completely gone. I talked to another friend just about an hour ago that just said lost their whole house. It's crazy. It is climate catastrophe. Our local government is doing an incredible job in terms of the preparedness, in terms of letting everyone know ahead of time and constantly giving us updates. So I have to compliment that in a major way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's nothing. I mean, here's the thing. If anybody can stop the winds, like, so anyone wants to blame anyone, if you want to come to L.A. or if you want to come to California and you have the ability to stop 70-mile-an-hour winds, then you know what? Come on, come here and we'll see what you can do. You'll be, you know, Superman.
Right.
But this is the reason why we're having, you know, the spread of the fires. I mean, luckily, where I live, which is more on the flats, I used to live in the Hollywood Hills, but mm-hmm. now I live on the flats.
And can you, if you don't mind, if you don't want to, Tom, you don't have to, but if you can describe more for people, just so they get a sense. I mean, most people kind of know, oh, Los Angeles is the city of Los Angeles, downtown is in the center. I like to tell people, you know, very broadly, the Rose Bowl, Pasadena is kind of northwest of downtown LA. And then it goes Glendale and Burbank. Then you go to further west, Santa Monica and Malibu. And that's kind of where, you know, generically speaking, Palisades is. I have friends in Santa Fe Springs, which are kind of south and east of downtown LA. Where is it that, generally speaking, obviously don't give us your address, but where is it generally that you're located, Tom?
Well, we're in North Hollywood, so we're about 10 miles away, 12 miles away from Pasadena. So, and Glendale, we're about 5 miles away to 7 miles away from there.
So you are not that far from where a lot of these things are happening.
No, not at all. You know, like we're far enough away. I'll just put it this way. With these high winds, if somebody, let's just say, this is what I'm so amazed by, Todd, is that LA County alone is 10 million people. Mm. And I'm honestly surprised that our area, you know, some Nimrod hasn't gone and just lit a match or whatever in the area. Well, because the thing is, if you get one little fire,
right,
you're done.
Well, help us understand some truth here, Tom. And I still appreciate you taking your time during this a very difficult situation, because this is really enlightening, puts a great lens on this for our listeners and viewers. Help us understand the truth here, because what we're seeing on social and other places is now that it appears that there's an investigation whether arson was the cause of this Palisades or the start of this fire, and there are reports, unconfirmed, that there are other people going around just being yahoos to light more fires. Is there truth to that from local reporting from Los Angeles, or is that just internet stuff?
I think that's internet stuff. I mean, there might be some truth. There's truth to everything, of course, right?
Right.
Or they find little truth nuggets to everything. But honestly, a lot of times what happens is, again, we are the largest place in the country.
L.A., Tom, not to cut you off, we're up against the clock. Are you able to stay with us for through the break or not?
Sure.
All right. Stay tuned. More reporting from L.A. Tom in Los Angeles on this tragedy that's striking Southern California. It's the All Balls Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock here on this Thursday, January 9th, coming up at hour number 2, What's Worse, taking a look at what's ahead in the 119th Congress as well. But right now we are honored and grateful to be joined by our longtime listener, L.A. Tom, joining us live from Los Angeles, California, where this tragedy has unfolded in the last 48 hours. Tom, thanks for staying with us to the break. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Jeff Perry, writes this on Facebook, watching us live on Facebook, says, best wishes to you, L.A. Tom, and your friends and loved ones. Stay strong. I can't even imagine how terrible this must be, unquote. I think Jeff speaks for a lot of us, Tom, that we're out here in Wisconsin. We have friends and family out there in L.A., the greater L.A. area. It just feels like I feel helpless watching this unfold. I can't imagine what it's been like to be right in the middle of it.
Yeah, tell Jeff thank you and all the listeners thank you. To answer your question about the reasons for the fire, I mean, again, you know, we're a huge place. L.A. is really a tapestry of towns. Mm-hmm. You have L.A. downtown, but basically everything else is kind of a tapestry of town, even though that town might be 400,000, 500,000 people. You know, North Hollywood is 300,000 people.
Right.
You know, that's three Green Bays.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, it's just insane the number of people. So what happens sometimes is you're going to have people that are homeless, which does happen here because we are a warm climate. And these people at night, when it gets cold, they may start a fire, you know, to stay warm. You may have people, like you were saying, you know, a few years ago, we had, someone that was an arsonist that was around our area and that was, you know, starting fires. Now, that's not, I have not heard of that happening this time around. I don't know what it was that, you know, did it. People can, you know, say whatever they want to say.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you directly, because what's being reported locally are your local news. I always trust local news sources the most, because there was video. And again, we have to be so careful, particularly in this day and age, when people say, oh, here's a video. You have no idea where this is really from, but there was alleged, keyword alleged, video from last night from somebody near the worst of it that was allegedly starting new fires, you know, far enough away where it was very likely that they were through the air, through soot or ash. And there were allegations that there were people basically taking advantage of this tragedy just for the hell of it and starting new fires. But again, that's what we see out here and on social. And that's why I wanted to ask you what you're hearing from local, whether it's KCAL or whatever you're watching or listening to out there, what they're reporting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting is, you know, on social media, they also have the Hollywood sign burning down.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not happened.
Which has not happened to this point.
Yeah. No, not at all. Not even close. It's, you know, it's Runyon Canyon, which leads up to, you know, a forest area. I mean, it's more places that are in the hills that are more forestry type of area. It has nothing to do with, by the way, raking or anything like that.
Right.
This completely has to do with winds and dry weather. That's what this has to do.
And give us a sense, Tom, if you would, from being there on the ground. I mean, like I say, my friends in Santa Fe Springs, which are much further south, they say even down there that the air is just smoke-filled and they're seeing ash and everything down there. I can't imagine, you know, you being only 7-8 miles from some of the actual fires. What is the air quality like? Are you able to go outside at all? And do you feel safe right now?
I feel safe just because I'm in really bad tragedy stuff. I stay pretty calm, actually. Mm-hmm. So I'm a hyper person, as everyone probably knows, but I'm very, very calm when it comes to like high drama situations. So I actually feel good, okay, about everything. The weather-wise, you know, it's a beautiful day here. I mean, the thing is, you would be like, oh, wow, it's just another day in L.A. You know, sun's out, everything's there. But, yeah, the smoke is definitely there. You definitely need to wear a mask outside if you're going to be outside. Mm. They are recommending that people stay indoors as much as possible. But, you know, if you go out, you know, be smart enough to wear a mask. No mandates or anything like that. Just that, you know, is what they recommend. But yeah, I mean, it's a tragedy. I mean, to think that the Pacific Palisades is gone is just like, it's just insane. You know,
well, that's why, not to cut you off, but I've only got about a minute and a half left here. My last question, I know it's too soon to ask where do we go from here, but to your point, I mean, there are grocery stores, schools, I mean, everything that we normally take for granted for some of these folks is gone. I can't imagine just like what do people do at this point?
It is everything over that area is definitely gone.
Right.
I mean, this fire has gone all the way from Pasadena, which is to the east of us, all the way to Westlake Village, which is completely the west. So, I mean, it has gone. It has reached a great number of areas, and Runyon Canyon, which is right above Hollywood Boulevard, in that area. You know, that's why it was very, very, you know, scary last night, because they were talking about, you know, people in the Hollywood area. But the thing is, it is the wind started to die down. When the wind started to die down, they could pour water over the fires from these helicopters or whatever, and then they actually hit their target.
Yeah.
But when the wind is blowing so hard, that water goes away from the target, and then they can't put the fire out. So that's the big thing. So hopefully the winds will stay down.
Yeah.
And if the winds stay down, we're going to be, you know, in good shape. But all those people that lost their homes, you know, like I just had a friend that was just calling me right now that, you know, apparently lost their home. You know, it's devastating, but we got to get a hold on climate catastrophe, and we got to get a hold of it fast, because otherwise other people in other states will be, you know, running into the same thing. I think about Wisconsin, if you didn't have the water and the snow, and you have the wind chill that you have, that's what I'm talking about.
LA Tom, up against the clock. I can't thank you enough for taking time out. Please stay safe. Our thoughts and prayers are with all of you out there in Los Angeles. Feel free to call in anytime. Stay safe, my friend. Appreciate LA Tom calling us in and giving us an on-location report from Los Angeles. Back with Hour 2. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.